80, and that's a lot of people that we're asking the Lord to give us. And I'm one of these pastors, I watch what God is up to. And so I knew that there was going to be a shift, and there was. This trip was different than any other trip. There literally was a shift that the Lord did in our missions when we went to Haiti. But I knew this shift was going to happen when probably about a little less than a year ago, probably 6 months ago, Pastor Janice Rice, who is one of our pastors in our sister church in Rainier, powerhouse woman. We'll find she's an amazing worship leader, amazing preacher, just full of the Spirit, powerful woman. And she has always been leading trips to Fiji for several years, working there with really Foursquare and some of the Foursquare works there. We've partnered with them. And it was about 6 months ago that while she was in Fiji, she took a trip to Fiji, loves Fiji, beautiful place to go. And the Holy Spirit said to her, "This is the last time you're going to come to Fiji. From here on, you're going to be working in Haiti." Well, she cried. I mean, she had fallen in love with the people, the Fijians and the Indians that are in Fiji. It's a beautiful place to go. And yet, the Lord is saying, "I'm going to change your focus somewhere else." Well, when that happens, when she told me that, I mean, I got excited, number one. I'm like, "Whoa, Lord, you're up to something good. Even a knucklehead like me can see it. Even someone dull like me can see you're about to do something amazing in Haiti." And as much as I wanted to tell Pastor Tammy, I said, "I'll let you tell Pastor Tammy." And it took her so long to tell her, I was just bursting. Ah! And so when they went, I knew God was going to do something. And really when God takes what was expected to be 300 women and he makes 950 women show up, you got to understand there was a shift. That didn't just happen. God created it. And we're going to see that more and more in Haiti, but also we're going to see that here. That the people that you've been praying for, the people that you've been inviting, and they've been saying no, 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 God's favor is going to be poured on in such a way that they will now say yes. And so you need to be out there and be intentional and invite people. I said no to people for 10 stinking months. They asked me every week. I'm like, no, 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 no. And to get them off my back, once I said yes. The agreement was I'll go once if you agree to get off my back. And so they set me up. They said, "Good, deal, you got a deal." So I went that one time, and I'm still coming. Amen. Because I met Jesus. I'd never met Jesus. I didn't know. I mean, he was so amazing. And so my life has been transformed. So understand we're in that season. Amen. If you're new to East River, we are in the midst of what we call 21 days of prayer and fasting. We begin every year that way. We just want to make sure that we begin the year focused. And so at the beginning of the Even before the beginning of the year, I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, give us really the word for this year." I mean, he gave us a word last year. What was the word last year? Remember? Press on, right? And he said, "If you do your part, which is to press on, I will do my part. And if you press on, I will give you breakthrough." But he says, you know, press on more than 3 days, right? It's going to take more than 3 days. It's going to take more than 3 weeks. You got to be serious about getting breakthrough. And you do your part, and I will do my part. And I'll give you breakthrough. And that's what happened last year. We reached a lot of people received breakthrough. Stuff that they had carried for the longest time really broke off. And so this year, I went to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, what do you have for this year?" And the word the Lord gave me for this year was what? Freedom, yeah. And it's based on Galatians 1, 5:1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." I mean, it doesn't take much looking in our world and see that a lot of people are bound up. Our world is kind of a messed up place right now. We're in an odd season. Yet if you study anything about world history, you realize we've been bound up for a long time. We, you know, things get worse and they sometimes get a little bit better, but then they get worse. But the Lord said, "That's not how I meant for people to live. My desire is that people live in freedom. That there's nothing in the way of what I have for them. That I have great plans and great purposes for you, and I want to make sure that nothing stops you from the freedom that I have for you." I mean, you look at our country, we use more drugs than probably the rest of the world put together. I mean, this nation, and both legal and illegal, they're all the same, by the way, in many ways, you know, especially if you abuse them. And yet, what does that say about our society? It says whatever we're doing must not be working, amen? And so my encouragement to you, and just like what Pastor Tammy said, go out and be the missionary to your neighborhood. Be the missionary to your place of work. And so we, to help you, we made these, and they're out there for you in the foyer. I want to make sure that everybody gets one. You know, if you can give $3 toward it, great. If not, take one anyway. I want to make sure that every family has one. Take it to work. Put it on the, on the wall, because people will say, freedom, what's that all about? And man, there's an open door. Freedom, oh. And you can just right away just tell them. It's about walking free from anything that's gotten in the way, because they'll relate to it. And so you can have it at home, same thing, or wherever you might be, just take one, and if we run out, we'll make some more. So that's there for you. But if you haven't been joining us in the 21 Days of Freedom, tomorrow will be day 14. I would encourage you to still join in. There'll be basically 8 days left. And ushers can get a hold of this. This really talks about what the prayer and fasting is all about, the types of prayer and fasting, so you can make a decision which fast you're going to be involved. And we don't just to fast, because then it becomes a diet. We're not interested in dieting, although you're going to lose weight, but that's beside the point. And but it's really recapturing that first love for the Lord. And in the back is 21 prayers, one prayer for each day. And last week I mentioned the various prayers, and so we're up to prayer number 8, like day 8, right? This is so we began with a prayer. If you want to put the next slide up, if you would, there you go. So day 8, we said this. This is the way we start the day. Every day we start off with a prayer. And the prayer was this: Lord, help me break free from my past once and for all. Every one of us has a past. But here's what you got to understand, that you can start brand new today. That today you can literally break from your past and begin new. When I gave my life to Jesus, the counter was reset. I started brand spanking new. The old Carlos died, and this is the new Carlos. Amen. So I tell people, if the old Carlos owed you money, you're out of luck. He died. This is the new Carlos. So Lord, help me break free from my past once and for all. Let it be so powerful that it never, you know, like when I look at my past, or whenever I think about my past, usually I only bring up my past to help somebody to going through their stuff. But when I look at my past, I sometimes wondering, was that even me? I mean, I've been so set free from my past, it doesn't even seem like it was my past. And that's what you want to do. And then the next day, day nine, we prayed, Lord, sever the past from my life and discard it. See, sometimes what happens is we go and we bring the past. We empower the past. We bring it into the present. And so, Lord, discard it. Man, just hide it from me, Lord, so I can't find my past, right? Throw it in the dump. You know, have it run over by those big machines, that I can't find my past anymore. Because there's this voice that always wants to remind you of your past. Amen? And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, when I hear that voice, you know what I say? I say, take a number. I talked to that voice. I said, take a number. In other words, I don't care about my past. It's been settled. It's been severed for me. And then there's a positive declaration. Day number 10, we said this: I declare that my past does not determine what? My future. You know what that means? It doesn't matter where you started. It doesn't matter where you started. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter that you've blown 30 years of your life. Today can begin brand spanking new. And whatever was does not determine whatever will be. And God doesn't say, man, you've wrecked the plan so bad. Sometimes we think that, man, I've met a lot of people. Man, Pastor, do you know what I've done? Well, if I don't, the Lord sure does, and He's the one calling you. So it doesn't bother Him, why should it bother me? And so you got to understand that the past will not limit the future. The only thing that limits the future is you. That's what limits it. So then we get to day number 11. And I love this because then it becomes, we start dealing with how sometimes how we look at other people. It says, I renounce bitterness that keeps me from loving you and others. See, sometimes we allow bitterness because of the stuff we've been through. And that bitterness keeps us from loving other people the way God wants us to. Because we don't trust people. We don't trust anybody. I remember saying that. And I'm like, man, I don't trust anybody. Well, that's a problem if you're going to be a pastor, right? You know, when you say stuff like, you know, I don't like anybody. Well, that's a problem if you're going to be a pastor. And so I had to deal with the bitterness that I have. And praise God, right? That's why I love you guys. Barely, but I love you guys. That's just a joke. You're like, I'll tell you the joke. A friend of ours, a mom, her daughter was arguing with her neighbor, right? The two girls, best friends, but you know, they were arguing. And so she's trying to tell her daughter, you know, you gotta be nice to your neighbor. You guys are friends, you gotta love her. And so everything she tried didn't work. You know, trying to talk, you know, it just wouldn't work. She wouldn't want to hear it. And so finally she, you know, pulls out the ace, right? And so tells her daughters, well, don't you think, you know, Jesus loves, you know, whatever her name, Linda will say, you know, don't you think that Jesus loves Linda? And so her daughter thought for a little bit and she says, well, I guess so, but barely. So, kids, man. So that's where I get it from. Yeah, but barely. Kids, they're so truthful, huh? But you know what? You got to get rid of bitterness. Lord, let me get rid of bitterness because I want to love people purely. Day number 12. Ooh, this is a hard one, I'm sure, but people, I tell you, people said, man, I needed to hear this one. I grant forgiveness to anyone who has harmed me or let me down. Letting them off the hook. Letting them off the hook. See, because you know what? I you know that I spent my whole career in court, not a court. That was what I did for a living. See, kind of the way I look at forgiveness is this way. I when I want somebody to pay, I'm judge, jury, and executioner. Right? I'm like, and when I forgive them, I'm saying, Lord, I'm sending them to your court. You see, because all will appear before him one day. At the end of this life, everyone will appear before God and give an account. So nobody gets away with anything. But when I give forgiveness to someone, I'm saying, Lord, I'm shutting down my court. They don't have to appear before me. Now you take care of them. And that's what we did. And so it was really freeing to people. And then this morning, this is what we prayed day 13. Guide my heart to anticipate you moving in my life. See, there's got to be an anticipation. You got to understand God wants to use you. Amen? God wants to use you. You. And we saw these ladies up here and we're like, well, yeah, they're like, you know, I know these ladies. They're like super, you know, ladies. Oh, they're just like you and I. Just like you and I. But they're open to God using me. And there's an anticipation, right? Some ladies will tell you, even 3 months ago, 4 months ago, they never thought that they'd end up in Haiti. And yet, look what they are and are being moved of God. Amen? Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're a different kind of church. We're what's called a spirit-filled church, meaning that we go kind of where the Lord wants to go. And so I have a sermon for you today called The Principle of the First. But I'm going to save it for you for next week. And instead, I'm going to ask the worship team coming up and lead us in worship. So that means you've got to come next week if you want to hear about the principle of the first. We tell the worship team they got to be ready for anything. That's part of being on the worship team. Yeah. So, read. Let's stand up. Let's worship the Lord.
Jesus is called.